The B Plus Wrestling Podcast.
The Moves.
You might not be an A, but you are a B Plus.
Check it out. Here we go. You wanna mess with us?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, out there in the B Plus land. It is me, your B Plus Man of Mystery. I'm back. It's Mr. Mysterious here, and this is the Major League Report, the wrestling podcast where we cover all the goings on in the wondrous, illustrious, magnanimous, all the isses world of Major League Wrestling. Recording this a little bit earlier than usual. I usually record this on the weekends, and then Super producer Greg usually gets onto it a couple days after that, but got a lot of planning to do. You guys would have heard if you've been listening to our other podcasts, or you heard me kind of talk on my own other podcasts throughout the week, that we're soon to be traveling. Greg and I are going to be heading to PWA Coliseum. We're heading to Sydney next week, so well in advance, letting you guys know that the next episode of the Major League Report, Impact Zone, the flagship, it's going to be very much up in the air. We might be doing some stuff while we're there. We might be doing some stuff while we come back. Hopefully we can recap you all. Like, whatever the case, hopefully we can recap you all once we are back in our spots, once I'm back in WA here in the mystery spot. But I wanted to make sure that I got everything out of the way that I possibly could, try to get some last-minute stories out there. And just, yeah, I felt like this was a good time to do it. More time than anything to get onto the world of Major League Wrestling. Slowly heating up, getting bigger and better each and every week. You want to talk about, like, if you're unsure about promotions like AEW, how it's still a bit early to tell with some things, whether you like it or not. You want to invest your time in some more independent wrestling, MLW. When people say, like, oh, I don't know what to watch anymore, I always recommend MLW. I think what Court Bauer is doing with Major League Wrestling, the moves he's making, a lot of the news that's coming out of Major League Wrestling, especially in the last month or so, just bizarre stories. I'm going to have a list of things I'm going to go over once I go over this latest episode of MLW. So with that all being said, ladies and gentlemen, how about we just get cracking into it? MLW episode 78, main evented by Austin Aries going up against Brian Pillman Jr. We don't have the traditional theme song introduction, and we don't get it at all throughout this episode of Major League Wrestling. So, like, sometimes if they don't have it at the very start, they'll have a match and then they'll have the intro. No, not the usual introduction at all, which is a very, like, oh, okay. Bit off kilter week of wrestling here. We started out with Los Parks, LA Park, and his son El Hijo de LA Park go up against Magnus, the luchador, not the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, who was formerly known as Magnus in Impact Wrestling. Trust me, you try and look up Magnus, the first thing that will pop up is Nick Aldis. You have to really specify, no, I want to know about the luchador. Magnus. Did you mean Nick Aldis? No, I meant Magnus. It took me a while to look up a bit more about him on Cage Match and a couple other sites, so he's still relatively newcomer, more known for CMML. And Septima Dragon. This was a Lucha Libre, Lucha Rules tag team match, which pretty much meant that anything goes. So referee's discretion and all that, which is a bizarre thing. So this was, both teams could have done anything, but the only team that used weaponry, just went on the outside and went ballistic, was Los Parks. So I don't know if Magnus and Septimo, they just didn't want to, or they just, I don't know, I felt like they could have, like, given the amount of, like, the chaos that was in this match, I feel like they could have got a few chair shots in there. Like, crack one over El Hijo or something. I don't know. Very weird. But yeah, we're used to our, like, casual, high-flying Lucha Libre action, but this one is a little bit different, a little bit more chaotic. And it has LA Park in it, which means instantly it's 110% better. I love this match. I love this match so much. Usually I'm just like, and it's bad to say, like with Lucha Libre, it's like, oh yeah, it's going on, but MLW has conditioned you just like, this is going to be an entertaining match. You can't really say any much more than that, but this one, there was a lot more extra layers to this than I ever would have thought about. And you have initially, first off, El Hijo, his attire, coming out just like Carnage from Venom, Spider-Man. Yeah. Perfect visual. Love the striking reds and the blacks and the smile. Brilliant. Absolutely loved it. And it set the prelude for a Carnage-filled episode of Major League Wrestling, or for their match in particular. You have LA Park. He's, I don't know where we sit with him in terms of, he can do whatever he wants, right? He'll do fist bumps at the crowd. Like, Selena is the heel manager. She is the businesswoman. She's the empresaria and everything else. But that's not necessarily her clients. So LA Park can just be whatever he wants to be. Which, like, if you think about it, who's really the face in LA Park versus Fatu? You have to say LA Park, but just by default, even though Selena will probably be a little bit, she'll get involved potentially just to ensure that her client walks away with the gold, if that is indeed what happens. But yeah, I found it strange. It's LA Park. He's like, and Selena didn't tell him off, just like fist bumping the crowd and asking people to cheer and just getting into it. And she's like, I feel like Selena is at that point where she's just like, I have the Destroyer with me. I can, as long as he's happy, I don't care what he does. As long as he's happy and as long as he makes me money, sure, do whatever you want, mate. Do it to the crowd, you filthy animals. And Selena, once again, amazing, amazing manager, on point with her latest outfit. That's all I'll say about that. Commentary agrees with me about El Hijo de LA Park. I've been saying this for weeks now, about him being more of a brawler. So LA Park transitioned from a high flyer to a brawler, and El Hijo is more of a brawler, but he'll add the high flying, but predominantly he's got the same kind of style as his dad. And I feel so glad. It's like, oh, it's nice that Tony Schiavone agrees with me. Like, I see you, Tony. I see you. Got to enjoy those little MLW episodes with Tony Schiavone while we can, before he moves permanently to AEW, once we finish all of the episodes from the tapings from the latest batch. And then you have the Tijuana episodes, which I found out, I believe they're going to show some Tijuana matches. So the Crash MLW collaboration in Tijuana that happened earlier this week, apparently we're going to get some of that. I don't know whether it's in the next 2-3 weeks, but there is going to be, like showings of that. So I was going to go through the results from that event if we didn't see anything, but some things lead me to believe that we will. So I will keep quiet on that for now. I know results of things, but I'll keep quiet for now. I'm sorry, I'm going off in tangents here, but I love this Lucha Libre match. These guys were flying all over the place. Like, Magnus hit a slingshot corkscrew plancha, springboard corkscrew moonsault by Septimo. You had El Hijo did a fancy Spanish fly, like assisted by his dad, off the top rope. And the best spot, you ask people, like, the best spot of this entire match, both Los Parks dueling high-flying crossbodies into the fans. LA Park, in his 50s, jumping into the crowd at the same time as his son. It was the best moment of the show. It did not get any bigger than that throughout the night. Oh my god, it was so good. Like, there were so many spots in here that I thought were phenomenal. El Hijo is still thrusting and gyrating, not nearly as much as he was last time. My god, every 5 seconds he's just like, he's working them hips. He's definitely a flexible boy. He's probably thinking, like, not in front of my dad, not in front of my dad. But he, like, El Hijo, the level of athleticism from him, he did, without a doubt, the quickest Canadian destroyer I've ever seen. So lightning quick. And commentary, they flipped their shit. And when he did it, it was phenomenal. Can call him Mexican destroyer, I say, onto Dragon. There were several moments in this match where I thought that Los Parks would have won it by then. You had, after Spanish Fly, you had LA Park did a spear. That was like halfway through the match. This went for about 20 minutes in a 50-minute episode. This went for about nearly 20. That's a long time, and that's usually not what we get with these high flights. That usually will go from maybe like 10, like depending on 10, 15, depending on, but 20, just going to show that they want to develop, want to remind people just A, how good LA Park is, B, how much of a good tag team Los Parks are, and just C, just the amazing Lucha Libre talent they have here. Yeah, put it on full display. I mean, it's incredible. You have Magnus and Park. They, like, towards the end, they were center stage. Park ran into a boot in the corner, and he responded with a... He's like, yahoo! It's like, I know that was his scream. It was just like, it was like a yeehaw, but it was like a mixed scream in there. Charged at him like a bull, but Magnus dodged out of the way, and Park went through the ropes into the ring post. It sounds like I'm saying Pack, like, or Park, but I apologize for people if I'm not enunciating properly. You had Selena pull referee Frank Gastineau out of the ring at some point. She's getting involved a bit more in this match, more than she usually does. But we had, at some point, Park took flight, but Magnus moved and Gastineau received the impact. And Rich Bikini says, like, Frank Gastineau might be dead. The commentary were amazing. So while the referee was down, Selena entered the ring. Just casually as casually can be, low blow kicked Magnus. Just a very swift dick kick. And then Park rolled him up. The referee managed to recover in time for the victory. Not a quick, fast count. It was a proper 1-2-3. Because I think they've done that spot with LA Park a lot, where the ref's down, there's some shenanigans, and the ref's just like, I'm just doing a quick count to get out of here. Like proper AAA insanity that you usually get. But yeah, I love this match. Like, it was, again, the high-flying crossbodies from Los Parks that sold me. That sold me on this match and just how great these guys were. So aside from, as I mentioned, how it's just a Lucha Libre rules tag team match, you had Los Parks. They used steel chairs. They both used their belts. They were jumping onto the outside. But it was outside the ring. There was no weapon shots inside the ring. Again, their opponents didn't do anything, so it was just bonkers trying to put some lodging into it. But you know what? LA Park, don't think about it. Just enjoy the wonder of this destroyer, of this amazing luchador that's been doing this for possibly longer than I've been alive, to be fair. Now, the transition into the rest of the episode, this was sick. This is without a doubt my favorite Contra promo. So we come off of Selena helping out Contra. No, Selena's not working with Contra. Coming off Selena helping out her clients, Los Parks. Can I say, she's slowly getting more involved with things where she's helped hand things over. She's done distractions, but it's very rare that she gets involved. So she's being extra attentive with her clients this week. But as we are, the Los Parks and Selena are making their way back to the ring, we see the Contra Unit logo flash, but it's back and forth, and it's, you hear static, and it cuts back to Selena, it cuts back to the Contra logo, and commentary are just like, I'm sorry, guys, the commentary is like trying to piece together what's going on. but they're getting cut off. And then it leads to, they're making this believe that this is Contra promo is live. It's not live, but this Contra promo, it was my favorite. I've kind of tuned out from the Contra promos because they've been the same and I'm not really been intimidated by them for a while. Like, they're a great, you have Fatu and you have Samael. They're phenomenal. But the logo flashing, we've had it for months now. It's kind of worn its welcome. So they're just like, okay, we need to step things up a bit. And this was, without a doubt, the best Contra unit promo they have ever done. Probably one as well, because Simon Gotch wasn't in there. Or Ikuro Kwan. It was just Fatu with Samael as like the manager, as it should always have been. That's how it's always, and that's how it should be built. Jesus Christ. But you have Samael start saying that Selena is running her mouth. Like, she calls herself a businesswoman, but Contra is a cause. We are at war. This is a crusade. And then Fatu, Fatu, I love Jacob Fatu. Like, in the short time that I've got to know him in Major League Wrestling, he can make you believe that he'll kick your ass. And I know that's kind of weird to say with a wrestler, but anything that he says, like whatever he promises he makes in a promo, you feel like, oh yeah, he means it, you know, where he's saying that this isn't a business transaction. It's going to be a Day of the Dead for LA Park when they fight. And I'm just like, yep. Like, he's going to kick LA Park's head off. He's going to do all this shit. I believe him. And he's just got that intensity, just that Samoan fire that you just, I can't describe it. It's incredible. And if you weren't hyped up for Saturday Night Super Fight after that Contra promo, I don't know what to tell you, because I need to seriously question your viewing experience, because that was so fire. That was so good. Oh, dear. But it was such a great transition from the Lost Parks match. We had Rich Burkini follow on, inform us that Teddy Hart was cleared by his own doctor, as I mentioned last week. Yeah, you had a little bit of a promo from the Von Erichs for the Dynasty. They're just saying, who do you think you are? Gonna tear down a children's hospital to make a casino, you know, or some hotels. We need to teach you punks a lesson in Mexico by winning the tag team titles. And then it cuts to the Dynasty having their promo, how they are protesting that they're going to have their lawyers, a.k.a. Richard Holiday's father, go over the contract some more. And they've reviewed it, and they're saying it's not up to par. MJF, not even close, not even up to our standards. And we aren't going to Mexico. Adios, amigos. This is where the whole... the tapings coming out like later on and live stuff happened. This is where that kind of, unfortunately, it can't be helped scenario happens, because on the MLW Instagram, on full display, you see the Dynasty in Mexico, in Tijuana, just saying to the crowd they should learn to speak English. So we know it's happened. We knew it was going to happen, but make me believe, man, and MLW rocking a hard place, because if they had waited another week to put that up on their Instagram, their results would have been out already, which they are. Yeah, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. So we know already that the Dynasty were going to be in Tijuana, despite everything they said. Funny promo, great promo. No complaints from either of them. I will say, when we transitioned from the Von Erichs to the Dynasty, especially in the week of wrestling that we've had, imagine if the Von Erichs went to NWA. Oh my God. That seems like it would be a perfect fit for them. I'm not saying MLW is not, but man, just you know that NWA are just going to be like, Carrie, can you get your sons to come over here? You kind of need the star power, and just we need to bring back the nostalgia and the history and just come on, over here. Oh, dear. We had a new match announced for the MLW pay-per-view. You have Alexander Hammerstone will defend his National Open Weight Championship against Davey Boy Smith Jr., which joins LA Park versus Jacob Fatu, and confirmed as well, Timothy Thatcher versus Tom Lawler. Now, before I get into the other half of this episode of Major League Wrestling, we'll have a quick listen to Greg with our sponsors and get into all the other stuff right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey guys, just a reminder, if you want to hear all of these wonderful B Plus podcast episodes completely ad-free, make sure you head over to Patreon or Podbean, where we are the featured podcast this week. You can subscribe for as little as $1 a month up to $10 a month, where anything you want to help us with, it really helps out. It's going to help us grow the site, it's going to help us redesign some things, and everything that we get through this and through the advertising as well is all going straight back into the podcast so that we can get Aussie Graps out there for the rest of the world to hear about, for the rest of the world to see, so we can grow this mission of watch global, support local, and build indie wrestling. So if you want to be a part of that and get some really cool rewards like call-in shows, bonus episodes, ad-free like I mentioned, then head over to patreon.com/theBplus and subscribe today. Hey everyone, just want to take a second to tell you about one of our new sponsors, Outbreak Nutrition. Outbreak Nutrition are creating supplements for survival, sharper minds, quicker reflexes, all the energy you need to take your performance to the next level, whether that be on the field, in the gym, on the gaming field. That's right, they have specifically designed gaming supplements as well to help you focus on those late night sessions. They even sell coffee, you guys, at Outbreak Nutrition. You can get coffee pods, you can get coffee beans, you can get supplements for the bedroom as well if you want to enhance your performance there. These are performance enhancing supplements for every aspect of your life, specifically designed by gamers for gamers to stay fit and healthy in the gym, to stay sharp and focused on the game, and to dominate in all areas of life. So check out outbreaknutrition.com. And for being a listener of our podcast, they will give you 10% off your order when you enter the code B+. That is B-P-L-U-S at checkout. So make sure if you want to stay on top of your game, if you want to take your performance to the next level, outbreaknutrition.com. Enter the code B+ at checkout.
Coming back, ladies and gentlemen, the second match for this latest episode of MLW is Ariel Dominguez up against the Bone Collector, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu purple belt, Dominic Guarini. And this is Dominic Guarini's MLW debut. He has a little background video on the big screen. Very Street Fighter arcade style big screen introduction. His music was great. And this had a very old school UFC type feel. It was great. And I want to point out just little things. So Dominic Guarini came here out in his gi, which it signifies him as they're highlighting him more as a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy, as a mixed martial arts guy, more so than as a professional wrestler, because this guy got trained by Tommaso Ciampa. He got trained from, I looked it up before, but they're exemplifying him more as, like, for his other efforts outside of wrestling. I apologize, Johnny Gargano. He was trained by Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. The dude is violence personified, if ever there was one. And it's weird. Like, I don't, with the gi, like, it kind of threw me out of it. And I know it's meant to be kind of intimidating, and it makes Greeny seem like a professional at what he does, and he is, and he could probably beat me with, like, his pinky finger. But it's just like, I thought, a little bit cheesy, coming out with the gi to a wrestling match, you know? I'm warm to it now, and even commentary, they're just saying how, well, what's to stop a wrestler from just grabbing onto the gi and bringing someone in to do a chokehold or do an armbar or a submission? That can always be at play there. But no, my fears were quickly resolved after a couple of minutes because, like I predicted the past few weeks, Dominic Greeny, it took maybe 2 minutes. It took 2 minutes, and I feel sorry for Ariel Dominguez again. He is the resident MLW jobber. It's his size. It's his size. He's got the Chad Gable thing going on, you know, except MLW don't disregard him and make short jokes and everything else like that. But I say 2 minutes. And I will say as well, with the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu thing, you note that, like, from all the hype packages and everything else, I thought that this guy was a black belt or something like that, but he's a purple belt. And I'm very novice to a lot of martial arts things, but I had a look. So purple belt is like when you're a practitioner, like you've done at least 1.5 years or about 5 years in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and it means more time to improve. So I like, maybe as he's like becoming more introduced into world professional wrestling and he's also continuing on with his Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, we could see the brown belts, the black belts, the black with like all the extra stripes and all that until he becomes like the highest of highest grades. And just maybe around that time he is in title contention for something, I don't know. But yeah, it was a nice little touch. You just think like, okay, if he came out with the black belt and the gi, I would have been like, very, very cheesy. But yeah, thankfully he didn't. And just, yeah, his actions spoke for themselves in this match, where Dominguez and Greeny, they kind of danced around a bit before Greeny applied a key lock. Dominguez, he grabbed the ropes for a break, did judo toss to, and then on the third lockup, Greeny slammed Dominguez. On the fourth, he did an armbar submission. Immediately, Ariel Dominguez taps out, which is fair enough. After the match, Casey Lennon interviewed Greeny, and he's saying he is an MLW to prove what a gold medalist can do, even without a broken freaking neck. No, he didn't say that. But he's saying, line up all your fighters, and he will tap them out. He even called out Tom Lawler. He went there. And I think that's the theme that's going to happen for the next few events for Tom Lawler. So he had a media call this week, where a lot of the questions he was being asked is, like, how does he feel about being called out by Thatcher? How does he feel about being called out by Greeny? And he's like, I don't need this. I want to focus on getting back in the title picture. I could care less about these other guys. I'm a real fighter. Slowly putting the seeds in for a potential heel turn somewhere there. Not right now. Just laying the layers there. So yeah, I think that's what they're going to do for the next few shows. So we're going to have Thatcher and Lawler. You might have Greeny and Lawler immediately after. And then after that, yeah, enough time has passed to go like, okay, let's put Lawler in the picture with Hammerstone, like open weight title. He's according to the media call, which you guys should listen on MLW Radio on their website, on their flagship for the website, just how his mindset. It was actually a really great media call. It went for only for about half an hour, bite-sized time. Just, yeah, have a little break and have a listen. It's really interesting. So in the episode, though, you have MLW's nosy cameraman caught up to Tom Lawler in a parking lot, and he's saying he's sick of everybody wanting to get their hands on him. Like, everybody wants me, gosh. And Lawler, he's talked about his strategy against Timothy Thatcher. He's just saying he's going to knock his teeth down his throat. Fair enough. Fair. It's a bold strategy, Carton. Let's see if it plays out for him. Rich Burkini announced that Jimmy Havoc will be the executive producer of MLW's Halloween special, The Slaughterhouse, premiering October 19th on beIN Sport. This is going to be good. This is going to be really, really fun. I mean, I don't know what's happening now. Like, because I'm waiting, I'm bracing myself for the last ever Jimmy Havoc match, the last ever MJF match, and they're not coming yet. I don't know what's happening. And it's just like, can I, is it safe to say that they're going to be here a while? Is that what's happening? Can we thankfully, does MLW have a working relationship with All Elite Wrestling? I would love to think so. Especially just with, it's only with a couple stars, not with a whole bunch of them. But if my mindset is right and that Jimmy Havoc will eventually have to stop with indie dates, he's the executive producer, he'll have his own match organized, like for Slaughterhouse. I mean, what better way to go out if there was one, you know? But again, it's like my thoughts on when I think someone's going to finally take the title of Shayna Baszler in NXT. And we talked about this on the flagship, just like, I think it's going to happen, and it never does. And it's just like, oh, well, it's nice that she still has a title, but when's it going to happen? It's weird, man. It's weird. Yeah, I can't wait to see what Jimmy Havoc's Halloween Hell looks like in Major League Wrestling. If you look at some early MLW episodes, you can kind of see what he might be going for. But dude, can't wait. Can't wait. We had some more promos. This one, not so much a promo. Rich Bikini is reporting on Samu Anoa'i. He's recovering from his liver transplant. Samu Anoa'i from Samoan Island Tribe. While Samoans, and just, yeah, we're in recovery time now. So they put up the GoFundMe on their website. They put the link to it, and they're encouraging people to donate. I've had a look at the time I'm recording. So the goal is about $25,000. They've nearly reached half their target. They're about just under $12,000. So more of you guys who could donate, the better. Like, we have here in WA, like, the people that I associate with in professional wrestling, like, there's a lot of history there with the Samoan Island Tribe, and, like, Samu Anoa'i is talked in irreverent tones. He has done amazing work for the independent wrestling scene, and, yeah, he deserves to be treated as such, and he deserves that people show their respect and pay homage to the work, the legacy of the Anoa'i family. Yeah, any amount you guys could donate would be greatly appreciated. And yeah, if you have some money to spare, please, our Patreon as well. I talk about it at the end of every episode, but I mean it every time, guys. Like, any amount you could donate would go a great deal to all of our stuff that we've got going on. Yeah. We have an announcement that MLW have signed a new star from Mexico, Gino Medina. There was rumors that MLW Court Bauer specifically was looking at a blue chipper, you know, a once in a generation megastar in the making. And sure enough, he got in touch with El Intocable. I apologize for my Espanol, but that means the untouchable, you know, somewhere in the world, you have TMDK, their eyes have just woken up. so that's his tagline, the untouchable Gino Medina, who was trained, as I looked up, from Cage Match by Booker T. From Reality of Wrestling, Booker T's promotion. He is a three-time champion in Booker T's promotion. He's held the belts. Each of his title reigns have been very lengthy. He's been the guy for Booker T for a while, and he's being recognized as such by Court Bauer. 23 years old, already a veteran of the ring. Apparently he made his debut at the age of 6 as a mini in a match. Jesus Christ. Gino's father, the late En Sanguinario, was a renowned luchador, wrestling for several years in CMML. AAA against the likes of Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, and of course, LA Park. Yeah, one of the more amazing grabs for Major League Wrestling in recent weeks, with starting the women's division. We haven't got any more names announced yet for that, but just, yeah, Court Bauer he's constantly hustling. He's constantly talking to people. Interestingly enough, if you follow him on Twitter, which I do, and you follow MLW, which you should, he actually retweeted me on Twitter, which is really cool because of my love for Moon Man from last week. I just said, more Moon Man in MLW. He's just like, hell yeah, man. But one of the things that he posted on the 6th of October, I'm going to say, like round about earlier in the month, he ran into Rush backstage when they're doing their Tijuana show, like where they're doing the Crash stuff. And that's a very interesting name because remember, Rush was originally signed to Major League Wrestling before Ring of Honor grabbed him. Now, Rush is the current Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion. He defeated Matt Taven at their last pay-per-view. Undefeated, Toro Blanco, man, amazing, part of Los Ingobernables, Jesus Christ. And it looked like we were bracing ourselves for LA Park versus Rush. That match was meant to happen. That was going to be the once in a millennia match. That's how we're billing it anyways for Major League Wrestling. And it didn't happen. I can see Court Bauer trying to sway Rush to come back. You know, like he just is a casual tweet, but I'm just like, interesting. He's probably just like, I still want to see it happen. I do. I absolutely do. And, like, Rush is no longer a part of CMML. You know, yes, he's part of Ring of Honor as their champion, but, man. And Jesus Christ, it just came to me. If LA Park wins the world title, collaboration, champ versus champ, I don't know. This is, again, bad booking territory, but I would love to see it. Just throwing it out there. We've got one last promo. I promise, guys, one last promo. MLW, they have so many promos in the build-up to the matches, but it when you watch it, it feels natural. It probably just sounds longer the way I'm describing it. We had an Injustice promo, but they have shit to talk about after last week. Where it kind of took me a while to piece it together last week, and I'm sorry if I came off very scatterbrained last week. Last week when Injustice lost, you had Kota Brazil was frustrated because he got pinned, but he wasn't a legal man. Now that gives Injustice actual heat to work with, actual like. Man, MLW out to get us, Court Bauer out to get us, referees out to get us, we want our justice. That gives them material, and they're running with it this week. John Oliver claimed that MLW doesn't want talent like Injustice to succeed. No matter what happens, they will get their justice. They really give it a little bit of twang on the justice. Great. They're three young rising stars, and that's becoming a regular phrase in Major League Wrestling, but dude, give them stuff to work with. Give them more shit to throw on, give more shade to throw on Court Bauer, more shade to throw on the officials, like proper, and it will make you forget just about them. How they're saying that everyone's out to get them, which is why they've been cheating, but there was no one really doing anything. Now, if there's like bad calls or like delayed refereeing, them not checking other wrestlers who actually have weapons, just weird shit. I don't know, weird shit. Just give Injustice more things to do so that they can grow. And I can't imagine who they. Maybe the Hart Foundation. I'm just thinking of another trio. Like, given justice, like, they're upset with the old guys. Like, they're upset with the people who helped make MLW what it is. And, like, maybe they can just, I don't know, challenge the Hart Foundation. This is off the top of my head. But, yeah, I can't wait to see what happens when you actually give Injustice something to do. So, instead of just kind of lingering and just walking around with the tape over their mouths and the picket fence signs, you know, it's eventually it gets old. So I'm glad it looks like at least that they have a direction with this, and can't wait. But now we have our third and final match: Austin Aries versus Brian Pillman Jr. Brian Pillman Jr. is trying to get revenge, trying to fight for Teddy Hart's honor after the attack from Austin Aries. We have the Mars stats of the week, that apparently Pillman wins 83% of his matches when he uses 12 or more aerial strikes. So guess what he did? He's just going to town. I love this match. Like, you wouldn't think Austin Aries is a high flyer, but he's just so quick. He is so quick, and he threw Brian Pillman off guard so much with just how he would unload on him. Like, Aries slapped Pillman across the face to start off with. Pillman demanded another. Apologies, guys. And then Aries spit in his hand, loaded it up. Pillman caught Aries' arm and stuffed the spit-filled palm back into Aries' face. Gross. Gross, gross. Pillman was in charge for most of the match until Aries knocked him down on the floor after an attempted springboard maneuver. Aries followed up with a suicide dive and a flying drop kick. This is where the Asian experience came in with Austin Aries, where Pillman, he had a spurt here and there, but it was Aries. Like from that point on, it was Austin Aries picking Pillman apart piece by piece. Like, straight up, just a very Randy Orton-esque, just like piece by piece, he would just slowly work at him. And just, yeah. For the finish, Aries smashed Pillman to block a suicide dive. A little bit of miscommunication. It wasn't as accurately timed as they could have done it, but that's okay. That's okay. And they had a running dropkick in the corner, and then Aries did the brainbuster to get the pinfall. I'm a little worried about Pillman. Now, I've had to think about this, because Pillman, his last win was against Holiday, and that was with the whole Eddie Guerrero with the title and then the low blow, like the lie, cheat, steal tactic. But before that, man, he's lost to like Hammerstone. He's had a lot of, like, I'm trying to remember the last time he's actually won properly. Like, he's lost Austin Aries, of course. Like, he lost the tag titles for the Hart Foundation. He was the one who lost the tag titles. I mean, at what point does Pillman's, like, he's a lovable loser, maybe, at the moment. At what point do you have to go, like, you know what? He's reaching for the stars too quickly. Make him focus on the smaller picture. Like, make him focus, like, on racking up a few more victories. Hell, have him fight, as I mentioned, Injustice. Like, give him some wins to rack up, and then give him back the title picture. Because he keeps going up against these big heavyweight dudes, all these big, like, experienced guys, and he's always coming up short unless he is doing some kind of shenanigan trick. And I mean, like, I know the mullet is a beautiful thing, like, but at some point everyone's going to look past the mullet and just like, come on, Pillman, what else you got? And I love Brian Pillman, I do. But I'm just thinking, like, he needs a few more wins to kind of remedy what's going on with him, you know? Austin Aries did his thing, you know, winning very convincingly, and we knew he was going to win anyways. I'm glad that he has been so dominant in only, like, what, three matches that he's had, and one interference with Teddy Hart to cost him the tag team rematch, as should we say. After the match, though, Austin Aries gets on the mic, calls out Teddy Hart, saying week after week, Aries is destroying his opponents, and his so-called boy in Brian Pillman calls out Hart. The reason he is calling out Teddy as well, like, just saying how, because he's the middleweight champion, and he's made his intentions clear from the very beginning, Hart wants answers from Aries, from all the talking. Teddy Hart eventually comes out. This is how we conclude this episode of Major League Wrestling. Aries stomps Hart as he enters the ring. They're just brawling in the ringside. Referees start coming down to stop them, and it's just a brawl. It's just a straight-up brawl, which we've had our feel of just ending an episode of wrestling with a brawl from AEW the past couple weeks. So it's just like, yeah, all right. I enjoyed this episode. Very solid. I wasn't ever bored from this entire episode. There's a lot of moving parts still. I mean, unfortunately, there was no Moon Man, which there needs to be more Moon Man. I'm not joking, guys. Shit, you're not. highlights eventually, obviously, Lost Parks, the high-flying tandem crossbodies. Episode never topped that at all. You had an impressive showing by Dominic Guarini, and you had, of course, Austin Aries just proving how much of a capable wrestler he is. And yeah, he is my pick. It's been announced, guys, as well. So it's official now. For the middleweight championship, Austin Aries will be fighting against Teddy Hart. Aries is going to get the title. It's going to happen, and it's going to be an amazing show. Aries is going to rely on a lot of his speed. Teddy Hart on his just like mastery of his craft, and just the lung blowers and the destroyers and the hammerlock DDTs. All of it is going to work in his favor. Very much looking forward to what else they're going to be doing. And I mentioned, guys, about the random list stories from Major League Wrestling this week. Man, where to start? Apparently that MLW are going to have a cooking show with one of their stars. We should talk about that. There's talks that a certain someone in MLW could be in the mix for his or her own series centered around cooking. You know? We don't know. And MLW have a lot of interesting characters who center around cooking, you know. Austin Aries with his vegan, plant-based lifestyle, you know, he's got his book out, you know. That might do something. Old Mansa could maybe do something. Fishing and frying, you know. You have a Dynasty do a cooking show. Why not? Barrington Hughes isn't doing anything for a while, like him going around touring Miami's finest food joints. Like, I don't know what to make of this. Like, the next, I just, food show with a current wrestler. I don't know. I'd have to think about that some more. I don't know who that would fit. Like, it's Barrington Hughes, but haha, because he's a big guy, but. No, very weird. Cooking with Moon Man. Please, cooking with Moon Man. Why not? Yeah, MLW are hyping the Opera Cup happening in December. The Cup hasn't been defended since 1948. Guys, it's been over 70 years, man. It's been over 70 years since we've seen the Cup be defended. Or people fight for it. You know? Why not? I can't wait for the Opera Cup. Just that bit of history. And you know, NWA were just like, that was would have been something that they could have just grabbed the bull by the horns and just worked with. But just like, they missed out. Missed out there, unfortunately. But there's, aside from that, you've got the news about Leo Bryan is returning from Diablo Canyon looking for a fight. The lover boy, Leo Bryan. I mean, he's looking to shake things up by dishing out punishment and Oklahoma Stampede to jail to just destroy everyone else in his path. After a couple weeks ago when he came back as Dog the Bounty Hunter, there's really no other way to describe it. He came back as Dog the Bounty Hunter. That's going to be an interesting one. Again, I don't know whether his partner's going to be coming back or if the Dirty Blonde's going to be coming back as a tag team. Is Colonel Parker coming back? I hope not, but we will see. Sure enough, like next week, it's going to have the MLW Crash. That collaboration is going to be part of next week. We're going to see the title versus title match between Alexander Hammerstone versus the Crash heavyweight champion Rey Horus. Both of the belts are on the line. What's going to happen there? What's going to happen? Like I mentioned last week, I'll say it again. On the off chance that they were actually going to have a definitive winner in a title versus title match. And not have a DQ or something. I would love to see Hammerstone with the Crash belt because Ambassador, the guy ticks all the boxes in my mind. Athletic and yeah, just to have another Gaijin wrestler with a big belt like that, I would love it. But as I mentioned, you're going to see the Dynasty in Mexico. They're going to be. And what's the status of the tag team title match there in Tijuana? We'll find out. We're going to get a little bit of a talk by Brian Pillman Jr. about Austin Aries, about Teddy Hart. We're going to see Promociones Dorado. Then we're going to be building up. Again, we're getting more stuff of Contra and Promociones Dorado. Cannot wait. Finally, we've waited. And now, especially after that Contra promo, oh my God, more of those, please. Like, it won't be as impactful as the first, but man, more of those. My God. And then we should end, I suppose, on the weird news that came on my desk. I'm going to end, as I kind of mentioned from and started from last week, Moon Man, my favorite part of last week after the Bunkhouse Brawl match. So when Mance Warner got arrested, his uncle Moon Man got him out of jail so that he could get ready for his match. So he was bailed out of the New York City jail, you know. And apparently you have Mance Warner has returned the favor. So after recovering in hospital after the brutal assault by Jimmy Havoc, old Mance had to bail out Moon Man from the Hickman County Jailhouse because apparently, I don't know where they got this wild accusations from, but apparently Moon Man was caught barefooted running a fairly complicated moonshine enterprise. Can you imagine? I can't believe it, guys. I mean, Moon Man, really? Just look at the guy. Like, could you imagine him doing something like that? Oh, dear. It's nice. This is the articles that MLW come up with. Cooking shows. Moon Man getting arrested. I mean, like, Jimmy Havoc Slaughterhouse. Like, Leo Bryan. All these weird, like, they've got all these weird off-kilter storylines that they kind of pay off eventually in the episodes. And it's just, I think they're just testing the boundaries at this point, testing the waters, like, okay, what are the crazy shit can we get away with? I just find it amusing, and it adds an extra twist on everything else that Major League Wrestling is doing. We are just a couple weeks away from Saturday Night Super Fight. I can't wait until more matches are announced. I'm waiting for the tag title, my announcement for that one. So we've already got middleweight title match, open weight title match, heavyweight title match, just waiting for the tag team titles. Exactly what's going to happen there, I don't know. And yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that is Major League Wrestling for this week, the Major League Report for this week. Thank you so much for listening to me ramble on and on about Major League Wrestling, but it's just such a great promotion. I think it deserves it, and it deserves your time, as do we. Because if you followed this long, hopefully you agree with us about the B+ and just wanting to keep delivering to you guys some great content. If you want to follow me on all the socials, I'm at Mr. Mysterious with a 107i, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Grapple. Hit me up, guys. Let me know what you thought about the latest episode of Major League Wrestling. If you want to follow us here collectively at the B+, because we're a great group. We're pretty great, you know. Not to toot our own horn, but you know. No, I'm sorry, guys. We are at the B+ Wrestling on Twitter because wrestling wouldn't fit, and the B+ Wrestling everywhere else. Remember, I said before, our Patreon, any amount you could donate, we'd be greatly appreciated. So we can give you all what you want, when you want, showcasing the very best of Australian wrestling and keeping you up to date on all the wrestling news from around the globe. So like, share, subscribe, hit that 5-star review. I've been Mr. Mysterious with the Major League Report, and I will see you guys all very soon.